Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, that sounds excited. Enthusiastic, baby.
We had to delete our last podcast discussion, so yeah, I'm a little...
Because Sean messed up. Sean failed Carrie again.
Oh my god, you poor martyr.
I'm not being a martyr.
You're making sense to me, and you're the one who actually messed up.
No, the truth doesn't automatically make you a martyr. I don't know where that comes from, but...
Oh god.
I messed up. That doesn't make me a martyr. And when I mess up, I'm usually failing you. That doesn't make me a martyr.
Oh my goodness.
It's just a factual statement.
Anyways, let's start with a new random thought. We're not going to go to our old random thought any longer.
Okay.
Because it's just too messy. It was about blood. But this new random thought could have been messy, but it's not. Ready?
Sure.
These zebras. Four zebras. Right?
Yeah.
In North Bend, Washington. On April 29th, I guess. Or somewhere around there. The news item came out April 29th.
Yes.
They got loose. They were being taken from Washington to Montana on Interstate 90. When the driver took the exit for Interstate 90.
Yeah.
For North Bend, like, which is about 30 miles southeast of Seattle. Yeah. Right? He was like, I gotta secure the trailer, right? And the zebras took off. Like, four zebras just took off from their trailer and went into this neighborhood in Washington. Right?
Yes.
So they managed, like, one witness told the TV station, according to the AP article, that he was in, quote, disbelief when he saw the zebras eating grass off the side of the off-ramp.
Oh, I would be, too. I'd be like, what the heck?
So he and some other drivers, like, they're like, we gotta protect the zebras! So they, like, tried, like, kind of made a makeshift fence to try to, like, keep the zebras
awesome.
From the highway, which is adorable.
Yeah.
But then the zebras were like, well, if we can't go up there, we're going to go to town. So they went to town on a little adventure. They, quote, trotted past brunch patrons at a restaurant. And then the AWOL zebras were in a woman, Whitney Blomquist's backyard. I called someone and was like, so I found the missing zebras. They're in my yard. Yeah, not sure what to do, Blomquist said. So then the zebras are like, oh, she called on us. So they ran to the next door neighbor's yard, and they were captured with the help of rodeo professionals.
Oh, they got lassoed.
And then the third baby, yeah. They corralled her, but there's still a loose zebra.
They don't even say what happened to the fourth. They don't even say it's on the loose. It might have got hit by
no,
a car.
No. They said he was AWOL. Like, they said he was, like, still gone.
Mm.
No, he's still AWOL, man. Like, he's totally out there. But the Washington State Police even, like, have, like, pictures of the zebras on
yeah.
Twitter. I mean, X. Twitter. I mean, X. And it's, like, really weird because it's, like, fatal crashes, protect your children.
Yeah, there's a lot of
it's National DNA Day, blah, blah, blah. Here's an angry bull. So, apparently...
You're already way back past the 29th.
An angry bull also got, like, loose.
Well, Washington State's got a lot of rural areas. I didn't know there's any zebra farms out there. Holy moly.
I just think it's all so weird, man.
Well, that'd be hilarious to see on the side of the highway.
Can you imagine seeing a zebra on the side of the highway?
No, not here at all. Not in Washington State either, but...
Like, I don't even know.
For some reason, it seems more appropriate in Washington State than here.
Well, they have Bigfoot over there. Even though we're very... What if Bigfoot finds, because they have Bigfoot there, right? And what if
you know
Bigfoot...
what? I'll give somebody $1 million that I don't have if they can give me a picture of Bigfoot riding that loose zebra.
That's where I was going.
I knew it, like a cowboy.
But I didn't get to go there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Totally stole my thunder.
God damn it.
But wouldn't that be cool? And then if you could put like a unicorn horn on the zebra's head, it would be perfect.
And a cowboy hat on this Bigfoot.
And then like glitter farts.
Well, now we're getting into fantasy land.
Oh, now. This week's podcast is how not to be a butthole in real life and on the page. So, are you ready?
Hello?
You're moving around and drinking. Everybody can hear all that. You doing all right?
I was taking a drink before you started the recording.
No.
Have you started it?
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Bud, I started it like ages ago.
Let me see. Oh, you did.
Oh my God. God.
I thought you hadn't started.
Oh my God. Earlier this week, Sean and I had this discussion about how I was like, it must be so great to be so confident that you write all the time.
Well, I am right all the time.
Nope, you were just wrong.
When?
When you said you hadn't started recording.
What? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God.
I'm just teasing. So, I was wrong.
So this podcast is called How Not to Be a Butthole in Real Life and on the Page. I'm starting over. So building a sympathetic character on the page is a lot like being a sympathetic character in real life. And the sympathetic character is basically the opposite of a butthole, right? You all right?
You're yawning.
Oh my God, you're such a butthole.
I am a butthole. Well, that's why I was bored. You
hurt me.
First pair.
Oh my God.
But I'm also very sympathetic, baby. Like right now. No. Like right now, my butthole hurts because I'm feeling pain for you. Because I love you.
No. No. I have no. Empathy. Love is about the acts that you do.
Oh, what am I doing right now?
How you treat someone.
I'm rubbing your shoulder.
You're making a lot of noise for the podcast. All right, so there. I'm
showing you love.
No.
Through the beauty of my touch.
Oh my God. That's not my love language. So there's this great post on the Social Self blog, and I guess I'm going to have to go over there because I'm really close to crying. But there's this great post over there that talks about what makes people likable and what keeps people from being likable. And writers and Sean's can learn from this post, really. Like, so the big things that make people likable in real life are kind of like a top 10 list of awesome. Would you like to read them?
Oh, sure. Be funny. Check. Be a good listener. Check.
No.
Don't
no,
judge no. on occasion.
No.
Be authentic.
Oh, you're always. Authentic. You're authentic.
Be warm and friendly immediately.
Nope.
Fail.
Fail.
Show people that you like them.
Fail.
Smile all the time.
You never smile.
Be humble but also confident.
You do that.
Check. Keep your promises. Check. Mostly. No people's names. That's a fail. Ask questions that aren't yes or no answers. I don't know.
All right. So the blog is amazing, and they even like have this cool bar graph about it, which are in our podcast notes.
Yeah.
At Carrie Jones Books blogs or something. And it's really cute because, like, what makes somebody likable to you? So, like, they asked people and they answered, and an email to just came through on my computer and, and it showed up as a notification and I was not happy to see it. All right, so when we're writing, it's hard to make a character listen to the reader, which is like, you know, one of those top things, like to make a character, like to be a likable person, you want to be a person who like listens. But that like, that's hard to do on the page, or making eye contact with a reader is impossible because your character is not three-dimensional, right? It's like words and symbols on a page. That doesn't mean that everything your character does should be them looking and gazing at another character, by the way. So those things score high in real life likability, right? But we can show them on the page listening to other people and being kind to other characters instead of being all self, self, self and me, me, me all the time. Right?
Yes.
They could listen when someone says not to talk about something because it makes them uncomfortable and they could stop talking about
that. That's why I'm so likable.
They could not be a liar in that So anyways, like, and you can also make the character funny if that's who they are, right? Like, that's really easy if you think about, like, the old Buffy the Vampire Slayer shows.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I didn't watch them. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, Sean.
What?
I don't know how we're married. All right, but if you think, if you're not Sean and you watch them, and you think of the characters, like, a lot sometimes, especially in the beginning, Buffy was kind of, like, you're like, should I even like her? But they became likable and fun because they were funny and they tried super hard to keep their promises and be there for each other, right?
Yes.
But just as importantly, that blog, right?
Yeah.
Has ways that people sabotage their likability in real life.
Really?
Yeah, that blog, it does.
Before we get to that,
you
skipped one thing above on the graph, and I really related to it and found it very interesting.
Sorry, God. Yeah.
No, it's the bot. It's your little note. It says, "Note how being generous." These are literally last three things on the graph, like the least mentioned things.
And there's like 10 or 11 things on there. Like, number one is what?
They're funny. Number one is they're funny, which kills me.
Number two is they listen. Number three is they don't judge me. They feel authentic. They show that they like me. They smile. They're humble. They keep their promises. They make eye contact. They're generous. And then...
they give compliments and they are calm.
Those are the lowest ones.
I'm like, those three things are me. But now that you've gone through the whole list, I'm like, oh, that's all me. So... So never mind. I thought it was just the three things. And I'm like, no wonder nobody likes me. But now that I've seen the whole...
people like you.
That's what... because I encompass the whole graph.
They like perfectly. You. I don't know why.
You poor Barbie.
I don't even know. All right, so there's also ways that people sabotage their likability in real life. This can also happen to your character on the page, right? And these are the ways. There's only four right here. Ready?
Yeah, I'll read them off, but I want to say I think this is so important because this is so true to life.
Oh, man.
Humble bragging.
Drives me wild.
Name dropping.
Drives me wild.
Gossiping. That's a 50-50. Sometimes we indulge in it. Oversharing on social media.
Drives me wild.
Thank you very much.
But it really drives Shawnee wild.
Oh, well, it depends.
No, it does.
It does drive me wild, but some drives you wild is what I mean. It depends on the type.
I'm okay with oversharing, but I'm not, like, occasionally, but I'm not okay with constant oversharing.
Oh, that's what I mean. That's what I
melodrama. That's not really that.
That's what you hate, but you also, we have an agreement in this house that if you constantly, we think some things that are overshared on Facebook actually mean the opposite of trying to be portrayed.
So Shawnee and I think that if somebody is constantly like, I love you, love, love him. I love you, love, love her. I love you, love, love them. And it's like kissy, kissy, meow, meow, meow all the time. Right?
Yeah.
It means that things are up.
They're on Hoops, the downside of that hill. Hoops
Creek without a paddle. Yeah. If you are like that on your social media all the time. That's right. It's okay, like, in the first couple months of your relationship.
Oh, yeah. This is established relationships, I think, right?
Yeah.
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 Like marrieds, just.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah.
Or just long-time partnerships.
Yeah. And we have a friend who, like, one of the main reasons that I stopped being, like, there's a lot, but one of the reasons I stopped liking them as much as I could like them is because they are constantly name dropping. But they don't drop. They name drop with my friend in front of it. My friend Sean said.
Yes, or my good friend.
My good friend Carrie said. My good friend Pogie said. And right. I'm just like, no, you don't know.
I agree with you 100% on that one. Drives me insane.
And humble bragging is also super annoying because it's like, just brag if you're going to brag. Okay, just.
Right.
Don't like pretend. Like
me. I mean, if I got something egotistical to say, I'm going to say it.
So, like, for a book character, if you have them doing, like, humble bragging and gossiping, that can happen in dialogue. And that's okay to a certain extent, but it's going to probably make them unlikable, right?
Right.
But oversharing can happen too, especially in a first-person narrative where you can tell too much, so much, that it feels like the action isn't happening, and that will distance the reader. So it could be like, so I wanted to talk, so he said he was going to kiss me, but then I was like, no, I shouldn't kiss him because, like, you know, the last time I kissed someone, it was my husband, and it was pretty gross. It was like a dog looking at my face. And then I was like, oh my god, I remembered my dog. And then my dog had the smell, like blood. Sometimes it was coppery in his mouth. And you're just like, no, right? That distances the reader. So you don't want to do that oversharing. And so when it comes to doing all this on your page, it can be a little trickier because you have to keep the reader interested enough in what happens to the character to keep reading, right? And that's all about likability, right?
I gotta say this.
Yeah.
In defense of authors.
Okay.
This seems like a really fine line type of subject.
It's really hard.
Because all of those four things, maybe not the oversharing on social media, but the first three... Yeah. It's like human nature.
Yeah.
To an extent, right? Gossiping, everybody engages in it somewhat.
Yeah.
So where do you make it like I'm a realistic human character.
Yeah.
And then stop before you lose your likability.
Yeah, right. Like,
so I'm just saying that seems really hard to me.
That's really hard. And like, but one of the big things, like, is that you have to get your reader interested enough in the character to keep reading, right? And there's a couple things, main things that has to do with, which isn't what we usually talk about when we talk about likability. And that's the super objective and the desire line. So, like, if you give your character a yearning and a goal in each scene and chapter, sometimes it's more pronounced than other times, right? Then the reader will wonder if the character will get it, right?
Yes.
That helps get the reader involved.
They
want to know what happens, right? So if they want to know what happens, you have more time, right?
Yes.
I'm going to write this down right now. That gives you more time to make them care about the character, right?
Yeah. I mean, that all makes sense because if you've developed a good character, then the reader is somewhat vested in there.
Right.
In their story. So.
Right. But if, like, on the first page, you have somebody being chased by a zombie, let's say, a zombie gerbil, you're going to maybe get in, like, they don't immediately hook into the character.
Not the character, no.
But they've hooked into the action, which gives you more time as a writer to show the good parts of that character, right?
You're so freaking smart, baby.
Okay.
I mean that sincerely.
I'm not sure.
That's very kind of you. What I was just thinking. I was like, in the scenario you just presented, like the first scene, all you have is the action scene. So you better make that good.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any character buy-in yet.
No, not often. No.
But if you can make that action scene good enough, then you've definitely bought yourself time. Mm-hmm.
And showing your character yearning for something, the reader then is like, oh, will they get what they're yearning for, right? And the longer the reader stays with them, the more time they have to invest in them to make them care about the character, right?
Right.
And to do that, you want to see oftentimes what the character's wound is, the defect, the thing that's haunting them, like the vulnerability or the weakness or the loneliness, like, inside of them. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does.
All
right. It might be, like, because they're being chased by zombies, but they just had to shoot their parents because they had gotten bit.
Yeah, man.
That's like some zombie PTSD right there. Dog tip for life. Wee, back up, baby. Oh, what? What do you mean?
It's been a hard day, man.
Every day's been a hard day for a while.
I'm gonna cry.
Why?
Because it's a hard day.
No, it's because I made you sad.
You did, but it's okay.
No, it's not okay.
It's okay.
It's never okay.
People make mistakes.
To make your loved one.
Well, you don't even sound authentic at all right this second. Oh, no.
Well, you say that to me every time. Every time I say something nice to you, you say I don't sound authentic.
Well, maybe you need it. So I don't voice know what all, for that.
I don't know what authentic is anymore. I've lost the
ability. Oh God, that's even more depressing.
I've lost the ability to be authentic.
All right, so I think we need to bring the dog tip for life back to our original thing, which is butthole. Like, don't be a butthole, right? Smelling buttholes is great, but you don't want to be one.
I forgot that was the title. Man.
Like, I'm typing that down right now.
How'd you let me lose sight of the actual title of this podcast and be a butthole for the whole thing?
It's all my fault, always.
Oh, that's not true. That is so far from the truth.
But anyways, that's our dog tip for life. Smelling buttholes is great.
But you don't want to be one. Unless you want people sniffing you all day long.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yes, thank you very much.
We barely made it through.
No, we did great. I did.
Humble brag.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us. Oh, yeah.